Good morning and welcome to the Atlanta Business Radio Show. I'm Amy Otto, joined by Lee Cantor. Good morning, Lee.
Good morning, Amy. You got big plans for spring break?
Yes, I'm going to Florida, getting a little sunshine, visiting my in-laws.
Where's that? Miami? South Florida?
No.
Mid? Central?
Sarasota. Siesta Key.
Nice.
Always beautiful. You know, I just love the smell of Florida.
It smells differently.
It does.
In Sarasota.
A little bit of sulfur, I think. But, yeah, I love everything about it. And I look forward to that as a break at spring break time. My kids do as well. My family loves to go. We have two great guests this morning with a lot of information to share. And so let's get right to it, Lee.
Go ahead.
Excellent. We have Diane Willish and Candace C. Jacobs. Welcome to the Atlanta Business Radio Show.
Good morning, Amy.
Good morning, Amy.
Tell us a little bit about your organization and what y'all do.
We are from United Cerebral Palsy of Georgia, and we provide direct services to people with developmental disabilities throughout the state, and a developmental disability being something like cerebral palsy or mental retardation or autism, Asperger's syndrome, really the array of disabilities, and we support people kind of cradle to grave, and about 600 people every day throughout the state.
Wow. And Diane, you are the executive director, correct, for Georgia and South Carolina?
For both states, yes.
And how did you get involved?
I often tell people at work, this is all I've ever done, so I better keep this job because I don't know how to do anything else. Actually, I originally became interested in working with people with disabilities as a young child with an experience with classmates from elementary school, and I was just so fascinated with them that it just kind of was the bug that bit me. And with a background in social work, I've really made my focus working with people with disabilities.
That's very admirable. And how about you, Candace? You're the developmental coordinator, correct, for the community?
Yes, I am. And my experience with the United Cerebral Palsy actually started when I was younger, and one of my family members who have Down syndrome, I'm from New York, so they were provided with some services that were available to them through the United Cerebral Palsy of New York City. And so that is where I learned about the organization, and I was very interested in the nonprofit sector and very interested in this cause. And so once I graduated, which wasn't too far ago, I reached out to Diane and United Cerebral Palsy of Georgia, and that's where it all started.
So tell us a little bit about some of your programs and services and how they're offered.
We provide an array of services, like I said, kind of cradle-to-grave approach to meeting people's needs. We have preschool programs in different parts of the state that are inclusive in nature, so kids with and without disabilities are learning and growing together, and we think we're really kind of changing the world in that regard because children with disabilities are learning from typically developing peers and modeling those kinds of physical movements as well as social interactions and communication kinds of things, as well as the typically developing kids learning a lot of sensitivity and those kinds of things from being in a learning situation with kids that are differently abled. So that's really a very wonderful program, and we're really pleased to be offering that. And that is available for 3-month-old children up until 5 years old when they're able to go on to public school. We have a really unique program out in Gwinnett County that is an after-school program for kids with significant physical disabilities as well as some cognitive delays. And the necessity for that program is to enable people to work. And what most people don't realize with typical children is that their child care can be provided at the corner daycare if they need after-school care, or there's after school within a school setting. Our children with disabilities age out of typical child care. A licensed center can't serve them after 12 years old by license regulation. So there's no place for, let's say, a multiply handicapped 14-year-old who still uses diapers, who still needs to be fed, and those kinds of things. So we offer a really enriching after-school program for them, and then also operate that same program throughout the school year on teacher work days and those kinds of things. Really a vital service. One of the longest programs that we've operated enables those families to continue working and being taxpayers rather than recipients of tax dollars. So that's really a valuable service. One of the other things that we do, which we're really most known for, is our community living program, where we have 60-some homes throughout the state in very typical, very nice single-family neighborhoods, just like where you and I live. And 3 to 4 individuals live there together. in really a situation that's very much like a typical family, except they have staff support to help guide them in their daily living and those kinds of things. And most of the people that we serve in those programs are people who grew up in state institutions. So their life experience has been very different, and to be able to have their own room that is decorated the way they want it to be and to help prepare a meal or to pick what they get to eat is an entirely different new experience for them. And we really watch them change and blossom in those environments. Yeah.
I bet.
It's very exciting.
Does every child who has cerebral palsy get work with you guys?
No, certainly there's degrees of disability, and we are really supporting those individuals who have really very significant delays, whether it's a physical delay, a cognitive delay, speech, or whatever the disability might be, but really those on the very far end of the spectrum. Actually, last night, Candace and I were at an event at Kennesaw State University working with a fraternity there, and one of the fraternity brothers has really significant CP and cerebral palsy. That's our professional lingo coming out, and uses a wheelchair and is really reliant on his frat brothers and the school community to do everything. He can't eat, he can't do anything by himself. However, cognitively, he's fully intact and as bright as any of us sitting here. So that is an individual that we would not necessarily be providing the kinds of services and supports we provide to him, because his needs are not, even though they're dramatic, they're not as dramatic as others.
But if a parent found out that their child had cerebral palsy, should they
absolutely
reach out to you right away?
Absolutely.
Is that typical?
Yes. And cerebral palsy or any developmental disability, like I mentioned, autism and mental retardation as well, because we are a wealth of information and resources and very hooked in and connected into the community and the social service supports that are out there, so that we can help them navigate school systems and therapy and all of those kinds of things. So, and we maintain a whole database of information for people that we would be welcome sharing and help them. It's a struggle. It is a real struggle.
It's a learning curve that they have
absolutely
no idea what they're in for. They don't know what they don't know. And
right. Absolutely. And we're happy to kind of hold their hand through that process and guide them.
What are some of the greatest challenges and areas for opportunity in the Georgia area?
The challenges for us are, as a nonprofit, really financial challenges for us to be able to keep pace with rising costs. If you think about it, all the things that all of us individually are dealing with every day, with the price of gas and a gallon of milk, are things that we face 60-some fold. We're buying groceries and electricity and gasoline and all of those things every day for any number of people. So that's one of our biggest challenges, and our outreach into the community, in which Candace plays a vital role into trying to educate the community about the needs of people with disabilities and how they can be supportive of those needs.
Do you deal mostly with large corporations that donate, or is it mostly individuals or combination?
It kind of waxes and wanes between large corporations and individual givers and donors. We certainly will take the support from wherever it comes, and we try to spread our wings throughout the community at every level, between individuals, churches, civic groups, and corporate foundations and those kinds of things. There's lots of opportunities because people can help us in ways not just related to cash. Mm-hmm. I mean, there are service projects people can do, you know, come paint a house for us, come do a landscape project, come help and be extra hands at after school and do those kinds of things. So there's a lot of ways to support us without necessarily writing a check, although that's a good thing.
So Candace, can you elaborate a little bit, Candace, on some of these community projects that you have working right now?
Well, as Diane has stated, we spread our wings out through the community, and a lot of what my job entails and what the community development portion is to reach out to individuals as well as corporations and businesses, and to first of all find individuals who are committed to our cause and who are willing to learn about what we do within the community, and to learn about developmental disabilities and what their role or their part in helping us create awareness or to further our cause. So there are several ways that one can get involved with our organization through service projects, as Diane has noted. We have 61 houses throughout the state of Georgia, so there's always a need for volunteers in order to create projects built around either painting a home or decorating one of the rooms or the house in general. There's also service projects that can also involve volunteering at one of our day rehabilitation centers throughout the state. There's also, right now, there's a real push for my part, for there to be more awareness within our community about developmental disabilities. And so another way that one can get involved is through either sponsoring an event for United Cerebral Palsy so that the community can become aware of what we do in our cause, as well as creating fundraising activities within the communities. We have currently a recycling program in which our program is very simple. We send out boxes through the community, which basically one would place in their area of business, and it's open to recycling used inkjet cartridges, excuse me, as well as PDAs and old cell phones. And what you would just do is get one of our boxes, drop it in there. Once the box is full, it's already self-addressed adhesive, and you just turn over the label, and FedEx, UPS will come and pick it up for you, and that's it. And that's just another one simple way that you can help us. With every completely filled box, we do receive a donation.
Wow, that's
so
great.
So that is something very simple and very, very easily to do within the community. There's also other ways that we try to get the community involved through our UCP 101 events, where we would invite you to tour our facilities and to learn about what our organization does. Mm-hmm. And that way we can start creating that relationship and building upon a future relationship where we can offer you an invitation to either become a volunteer or to do an event to raise funds for us.
Is there a website where people can find all these opportunities?
Yes, there is. Our website is www.ucpga.org, and on the website you just click on either the tab is ways you can help or ways you can come involved, and it will give you an array of opportunities to volunteer as well as fundraising information or donation information in which you can make a donation to UCP of Georgia.
Last question for both of you. People don't get into the non-for-profit world for the money, obviously. That's why we call it non-for-profit. There's always passion behind it. What would you say has been the most meaningful experience that you've had so far in working with the non-for-profit?
I, for myself, I really, and nearly 30 years of doing this work, I really can't isolate it to one specific instance, but what I can reflect on particularly challenging days, is that I am around every day the people that we support and are in existence to serve, and there is not a day that goes by when I am not have an encounter with one of the individuals that we take care of, and that they don't have a smile on their face, that they don't say, Diane, how are you? Wow. Or that I love you, or that I love it here. Mm-hmm. And so to me, that's the inspiration. I mean,
that's great.
Of the challenges of trying to maintain the organization and the quality of the work and services that we provide, the reward really is
great.
The quality of the service that the people are getting and
that's
their
great.
Happiness.
Their appreciation.
Yes.
Yeah. Yes. What about you, Candace?
I think for me, Diane has a wealth of experience, and I am very new to the nonprofit world. But I think knowing the cause and being around the individuals we serve and knowing that we really, truly serve a great purpose in our community. And as far as my job in creating that awareness and reaching out to corporations and setting up work giving programs and having people just be aware of individuals and their plight and their struggles. And I think for me, it's just being able to engage the community and to be able to work towards there being a greater more awareness than there currently is about developmental disabilities. So I think for me, it's just been the overall experience, and I'm taking it all in and very being appreciative of not only the blessings that you have, but also being able to educate others mm-hmm. on those blessings that they may not have realized for themselves, and being able to just get them engaged and involved in our worthy cause. I think that's one of the most greatest things I've learned so far.
So there are really so many ways to give, and it sounds like y'all do a great job of directing those funds and directing people's efforts. Could you give the website one last time so our listeners know how they can engage you?
Sure. That website is www.ucpga.org.
Wonderful. Y'all, thank you so much for being with us today.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you so much.
Thank you so much for what you do for the community and for all those in need. We appreciate you being our guest. We hope you have a wonderful day. Until next week, any final thoughts, Lee?
No, it's always nice to be able to help out these kind of organizations.
Absolutely, absolutely. Thank you so much for listening. Have
thank
a great
you
day.
Bye.